You've heard about the power of prayer and how prayer can bring about wonderful changes in your life. But have you ever prayed and nothing happened? Have you counted prayer beads and recited the same words over and over, hoping God would somehow help you make a decision or supply an answer to an unsolvable problem? It's not that God doesn't care. The problem may be that you don't know what Jesus taught about prayer. On Beyond Today, we're going to explore the question, how would Jesus pray?
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
How many times have you stood in a church service and, like some mechanical drone, recited these words along with everyone else? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then you walked away from that service with no understanding of the kingdom, no power, and no glory of God in your life. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, a disciple of Jesus asked him, "Teach us to pray." Jesus then taught the words I just recited, what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. But it is actually an outline of how to approach the Creator God in prayer. A better description of the Lord's Prayer would be the model prayer. Instead of just reciting these words, let's take the next half hour to break down what Jesus is talking about in your daily talk with God. Now, Jesus says to start your prayer by honoring God. Now, how many times have you started your talk with God with the gimmies? You know what I mean. Give me a new car. Give me a new job. Give me a new husband. Jesus said to begin your prayer with praise for God's greatness. The awesome God is not a genie in a bottle. He deserves our humble worship as the creator of the universe. Jesus next said to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Now, this is a matter of determining what is really important to you and setting the priorities of your life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his followers not to have anxious worry about their physical appearance or clothing. He told them to look around at creation and see the power, the love, and the genius of the Creator and trust in Him. He told them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God blesses those who set His priorities in their lives. Now, if you don't see God's blessings in your life, you have to ask yourself, do I have God's priorities in my life? Of course, the next question is, how can I know God's priorities for my life? Well, first of all, God has given you talents and abilities that He expects you to develop. But if you're going to have God fulfill His purpose in your life, then everything you do must be founded on two simple principles. Jesus said that the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments must be the foundation of all the priorities you set in your life. Now, after Jesus says to praise God and pray for God's priorities in your life, you should then pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." During the battle for Donelson, the Confederate general asked for surrender terms. Ulysses Simpson Grant answered, "No terms except an unconditional and immediate surrender can be accepted." After that, it was said that Grant's first two initials, U.S., stood for unconditional surrender. God requires from you no terms except unconditional surrender, which means to give control of your life to God. Now, how can you find the courage to surrender your life to God? Now, let's think of the most exciting sporting event you ever watched, and your team won. Remember the emotional ups and downs as the game hung in the balance? Now, think about watching the highlights of that game later. You experienced excitement, but the anxiety of possible defeat was gone. It's the same players, it's the same drama, but the difference is that you know the outcome. To accept God's will in your life, you must have faith in His promised outcome for you. It's not always easy, but God will be with you through the ups and the downs, and He will ensure your final victory. Praise God, pray for the vision of His kingdom, ask for His priorities, and then Jesus says to ask God, "Give us this day our daily bread." God wants to have you bring your job needs, your aches and pains, your financial difficulties to Him for wisdom and counsel. He wants to intervene in your life to help you have an abundant and happy life. We are then told to ask God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now this is a conditional statement. God offers you forgiveness for all the terrible things you've done against Him. But in return, He expects you to extend forgiveness to others. Forgiveness is giving up the emotional need to punish someone who has mistreated you. Forgiving isn't easy, but you will never have peace of mind until you do. Jesus told the parable of a man who owed a king a great amount of money. The man begged the king for leniency, and the king, out of the goodness of his heart, forgave the man's debt. This man then confronted someone who owed him a small debt. The second man begged for time, but the forgiven man threw him into debtor's prison. The king punished the man he had forgiven, telling him, "Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" Then Jesus said, "So my heavenly Father also will do unto you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." When you refuse to forgive, you not only twist your own emotions into anger and despair, you damage your ability to respond to God's forgiveness. To forgive, you must decide not to dwell on the offenses of others. When you begin to think about someone who has hurt you, consciously replace the thoughts of the hurtful events with positive thoughts of what God is doing in your life. If you need to forgive someone, ask God to forgive the person. Then healing can begin in your life. We are then instructed in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Maybe your weakness is sexual lust, uncontrolled temper, resentment towards your spouse, obsession over what others have, or alcohol abuse, or you just fell into blank. God wants to break the bonds of whatever enslaves your life. Take your weaknesses to God and ask Him to protect you from harmful situations. Jesus taught that you then finish your prayer by once again praising God. The Lord's Prayer isn't a magic formula where you recite the right words and power is released in your life. It is an outline teaching you how to pray to God. Prayer is about a personal relationship with your Creator. We're going to talk more about how Jesus would pray and the real meaning of "Thy kingdom come" right after this.
When Jesus was on the earth, He spoke constantly of how man needed the kingdom of God to come. Yet even now, almost no one in religion talks about what Jesus said, that a new realm of spirit existence will rule the earth, in which you can live forever. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to see beyond this world of poverty, of war, and religious turmoil. Understand what Jesus said about the kingdom of God. These greatest truths, these ideas, the promises of a new existence will change every human being who understands and acts. You can enter what Jesus described as the mystery of the kingdom of God. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Gospel of the Kingdom. Discover what it is and what it will be like.
And we'd like to invite all of you to go online to beyondtoday.tv, get your free copy of The Gospel of the Kingdom. And you can also watch the program there online, along with commentaries that are given by Darris McNeely and Steve Myers and myself. We're joined by regular here on the program, Randy Stiver. You know, people might be surprised, Randy, to find out that there are a lot of people in this country who still claim to pray.
Oh, they do. They actually, the most recent surveys that I've been able to find show that at least 75% of Americans say that they pray. And maybe it's more, maybe it's a little bit less, but around 75% on most of the surveys.
What do they pray about?
Well, you need to stop and think about that. You're going to pray about whatever you're facing. I think mostly you're praying for the future. And if you pray in the morning, you're praying for the day that it'll go well. Maybe in the evening, you're praying that the day would have gone better. But you know, you're looking to the future. You're praying about school. Kids need help with their tests. They can't pray at school, so they pray at home. Well, at least they do pray.
They can,
actually, the surveys show that teenagers actually pray. A lot of them do. So there is something that's built into our thinking that we need to pray.
People pray about daily life, pray
daily
about
life,
news, pray
success,
about things that are yeah. around them. Yes. We've been talking about the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
What does Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer on how to pray?
Well, it is an outline, and it actually is a special construct when you look at it. The prayer is for the future. Christ focused forward, and he actually focused on God's kingdom and the coming time when he would rule the earth. And the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, actually has three requests for the kingdom to come. Now, no, not always is that noticed, and not always is it thought about. But the first one is, may God's name be hallowed. That means that his name would be held in holy esteem, or, you know, of high repute.
Yes.
Praise. That's right. There is a future element to that. There's a personal element right now. We want to live our lives, if we are serious about knowing our Creator, to please him and to be credit to him. But there is a future time coming when Christ will gather the nations in the world tomorrow, you might call it, because it is the world. At his return, after his return. He rules for 1,000 years, the nations on earth. At that time, it will be God's culture. It will be God's world, and his name will be hallowed by the example of the nations.
I never thought of that as having a prophetic meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more than just today. It's looking forward.
Absolutely.
To, yeah.
And it's more than just, you know, saying that God is holy. It's actually a forecasting of the future. Then the clear one is, your kingdom come.
Right.
Or most people use thy because of the old King James Shakespearean English. But it means your kingdom come. Or may your kingdom come is the way the tense of the verbs mm-hmm. come. And it's an anticipation of, again, when that kingdom will be here. Christ will rule the nations. He made mankind. He is the Creator. He's going to come back and rule again.
That's interesting, because that means when we pray, we're praying in anticipation of a deeper relationship with God, of a time when we will be with God.
That's right. And, you know, it is important to focus to the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people live in the past, and that's not necessarily the healthy way to live. And don't get me wrong, remember history, but remember history so you have lessons for the future. So, thy kingdom come, and then thy will be done, or God's will be done, may God's will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that clearly has a personal application, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because we want to know what is God's will for our lives, if we're serious, again, about knowing our Creator. We want to then follow what that will is. But that is a prophecy as well, an anticipation of that future time when God's will literally be done on earth. It isn't being done now. God's will is not being sought or
No, if this
or
was
done.
God's will, this is a mess.
That's right.
Yes, yeah.
That's right. So you have those three requests for God's kingdom to come. Mm-hmm. They all have an element that apply to us daily. But then there are three other requests. Mm-hmm. And those are the requests that we may live and have our needs met until that kingdom gets here. So the first one, of course, is daily provision. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And probably every child in America has heard that to where it's almost proverbial.
But it is important that people realize that they can go to God and personally bring our requests before
That's
him,
right.
And it's okay. That's not being selfish, as long as we have asked for his will first.
That's right. Yeah. And couch it in the terms of looking to God's overall good, not just for yourself, but for all mankind. You know, it helps us focus outward. Yeah. Prayers are to be a service to others. So the prayer for provision, mm-hmm. then the prayer for forgiveness. And that must be a part of every prayer,
yes.
because we humble ourselves before God. We do wrong.
Yes.
We are human. We are fallible beings. We have to admit that. And we ask God to forgive us. Furthermore, tied to the forgiveness part is the fact that we must be forgiving of others. If we expect God to be merciful and to forgive our sins, our evils and wrongs, then we must be willing to forgive those who have sinned against us, as it says, or who we feel have sinned against us.
And that has to be a way of life.
That's right. Right. You know, the way of forgiveness. And then the final one is deliverance. You know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, many poo-poo the idea that a Satan exists, that there is a devil, but there is.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what they think, there is. The evil one, and Jesus knows that. He said himself, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And that talks about an ancient battle at the time that the devil was once a holy angel and he rebelled and decided to cast off God's way. So you have to be delivered from his influence. You have to be delivered from whatever dangers you may face in the day. So we ask God to actively be leading us and delivering us.
In the little bit of time we have left here, just very quickly, sum up then what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God.
Okay, that's a great question, Gary, because the kingdom of God is simply not understood. One of the fascinating things that I've done is wander into a Christian bookstore and go down the doctrinal aisle and look at the book titles. And you'll find almost no books that use kingdom of God in the title.
And yet Jesus came bringing the gospel, the kingdom of God.
Gospel of the kingdom of God. Yeah. He talked about it constantly. So it's not understood. Therefore, it needs to be understood. God made everything, and therefore he is the ruler. So he, and Christ specifically, is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the book of Revelation. He doesn't rule the world today. Mankind has been left to muddle in his own mess. God intervenes periodically because the kingdom of God still has control of all things. But there is coming a time when Christ returns, his second coming. He will literally settle down and establish the kingdom of God on earth. That means he will establish a government that will rule all the governments on earth. Mankind's always looking after a world government, a one world government, some call it. They're after always trying to visualize world peace. Well, the beauty of it is, it's going to happen. We're going to visualize world. It's going to really be here, but it's under the auspices of the kingdom of God and the direct rule of Jesus Christ.
What's amazing about this prayer, then, as you look at it, we are to pray for God's involvement in our lives today, yes, but it's always in the focus of the brilliance of God, the plan he has, what he's going to carry out. Jesus Christ comes back, his kingdom, he solves the world's problems.
That's right.
Appreciate you being here, Randy. Thanks.
It's a great way of life.
We're going to come back in a minute and look at what does Jesus mean by thy kingdom come.
The promises of a new existence will change every human being who understands and acts. You can enter what Jesus described as the mystery of the kingdom of God. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Gospel of the Kingdom. Discover what it is and what it will be like. Explaining the meaning of human genetics is just another way the Good News magazine informs with understanding you can't get anywhere else. It shows the brilliant design of the mind behind the universe. Another issue features the latest biblical research showing Jesus taught heaven is coming to the earth. Call for your free subscription toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv.
When you go online to beyondtoday.tv, you will find a section containing many Beyond Today programs about marriage, the New Age, and biblical prophecy. You'll also find relevant commentaries with simple practical points on how to make your life better. We're joined by our Beyond Today panel, Darris McNeely and Steve Myers. We've been discussing the Lord's Prayer. Now, he tells us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." What does it mean to pray for the kingdom of God? Why should you pray for it? And how can praying for the kingdom change your life today? Okay, gentlemen, what does Jesus mean when he says, "Pray, thy kingdom come"?
Well, Gary, Christ was talking about a very literal kingdom. His message that he came preaching was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he was talking about a literal kingdom to come to this earth, which is contrary to what a lot of preconceived ideas, popular ideas about the kingdom of God really is all about. He was talking about a kingdom to come to replace all the human kingdoms of this earth. And so he was praying that that kingdom would come that would produce a kingdom of peace and righteousness and justice, which is supposed to be the goal of human government, but it's failed miserably.
It's about leadership. It's about righteous leadership. And Jesus Christ is going to return. In fact, he is going to establish his government, his kingdom, right here on earth. So there's going to be subjects. There's going to be territory. There's a king, a leader, a real righteous leader, Jesus Christ. And we'll be following his laws, something totally different than what the world's about today.
And it really is amazing how this is not a message that you hear in a lot of Christian churches, a lot of Christian messages, that Jesus Christ is returning. He's coming to set up a kingdom. And the goal of for our lives is to prepare and be ready and part of that kingdom.
They wouldn't know what to do with that message if they heard it, because it doesn't fit into the theological constructs that people have put together to explain Jesus' message, Christianity, what life is all about. But the idea of a kingdom coming back to this earth to replace all other forms of government just does not fit into the world scheme that modern religion has.
Okay, why then should we pray, "Thy kingdom come"? Why did Jesus want us to do that?
Well, I think the first reason is because Jesus said to. It is always a good point to start with doing what Christ said.
Yes.
He said those who do what he taught, what he said, are those who build upon a solid foundation. So first of all, he said to. And that's a pretty good reason to start with right there.
Yeah, the concept of discipleship. Everybody wants Jesus to love them. Everybody wants Jesus to save them. But the idea, we do it because he said to. That's a great place to start. Why do we do this? Why do we pray?
But I think another important part of it is it also acknowledges something very important. It acknowledges the fact that man doesn't have the answers, that the true peace that's going to come to this world is going to come when Jesus Christ returns. True ability to get along with one another, true answers to the problems that mankind faces is not going to be found in human government. History proves it isn't. It's going to happen through the return of Jesus Christ and establishing his government on earth.
And that's part of what we do now, too. Those solutions can be part of our lives now.
Right. And Gary, I think it also helps an individual to focus upon the coming kingdom of God and to live each day of their life with that focus in place and in their mind by doing what Christ said in this model prayer, because we all get caught up in the problems of our life and the stresses and the challenges that we have. And to focus our mind on what is to come, what is ahead, and the hope of that kingdom is a very important part of what Christ meant.
And the fact that it's literal. I mean, Christ is going to come back. People are going to see him in the sky coming down to come down and bring his Father's kingdom and establish it on this earth. And he's going to bring one world government and one, I mean, this sounds like science fiction. One world government, one world religion, and Jesus Christ is going to do that and bring peace and solutions to humanity's problems.
It's better than science fiction. It's true.
That's right. It's true. That's right. It's not fiction.
Well, people have made fun of the meek will inherit the earth, and they say, oh, too bad for all those meek people out there. But the point is, Christ will make it right. He will make it right. It's a hopeful thing. It's a promise that he will make the world. He'll change everything and bring God's kingdom to the earth.
People think that we're all going to heaven. The truth is, Christ is bringing heaven to here. He's bringing it to here. The kingdom of God is coming here. And eventually the Father brings his throne here at the end of that millennium.
Yeah, what a hope.
Yeah. The belief in the kingdom of God as a vision of life, as a purpose for living, as a purpose to prepare, the reason why you live life, for me, that's changed my life. It's changed the way I spend every day. It's changed the way my marriage. It's changed the way I interact with people. It's changed what my concepts of morality and ethics and right and wrong are. That kingdom vision has changed my life and for the better. I don't think people realize how much better your life can be when the vision of the kingdom of God is central to how you live life. How has it changed your life?
It's an overarching vision that has given meaning to the life that I have had and been privileged to live. Gary, to have this guiding my life has influenced every major decision I've made. The woman that I married, the children that we raised and how we raised them has impacted my whole life in that way. It literally, the job that I do and get up and perform every day of my life and the meaning that that gives to my life is all powered by the vision of the kingdom of God. It has defined my life.
I think a change in perspective is a fantastic way to describe it. It involves everything you do, but when you look at society today, we live in a difficult time. In fact, the Bible describes it as a perilous time when people love themselves, they love money, they're distracted by about everything you can imagine. And in my life, you know, I was living a life that had a form of godliness. I thought I was pretty godly until I really started to understand the truth of the Bible. When God opens your mind to his truth and realize that form of godliness was not reality, but to begin to understand that God has a plan for all of mankind and it's going to come about. His kingdom will be established on earth. It changes your whole perspective.
It gives you hope. Not only hope for now. Right. I mean, and really, the kingdom isn't just a future event, but it interacts with our life now, and that with that vision, it motivates us, it drives us, it gives us, even when times are bad, it gives us a positive way to approach life.
Well, you've got the right leader. Mm-hmm. When you're looking to God as your leader, that's going to change your whole perspective, that you're going to have the hope, no matter what your life circumstances are, as bad as they possibly can be, the kingdom of God is the future, and that is going to be fantastic under God's rule.
I'm a student of history, and when I read history and understand it from a viewpoint that God has in involved himself in human history. He's intervened in the affairs of mankind. It also gives me an understanding of what's going on in our world today, mm-hmm. to realize that as bad as things might be in our very complex, chaotic, ever-changing world, Gary, things are going to be better. It gives a hope that man is not going to mess it completely up, but there's hope beyond the bad news that we read about and hear about today. So it frames even our present world with hope to know that there's a future kingdom of God.
You can see why Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, because it gives us a set of priorities on how we live. Now, you know, Christianity is not just beliefs, it's a way of life. And that way of life, it involves everything that we do. Thanks for being on the program today. There'll be more. We'll be back right after this.
When Jesus was on the earth, he spoke constantly of how man needed the kingdom of God to come. Yet even now, almost no one in religion talks about what Jesus said, that a new realm of spirit existence will rule the earth, in which you can live forever. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to see beyond this world of poverty, of war, and religious turmoil. Understand what Jesus said about the kingdom of God. These greatest truths, these ideas, the promises of a new existence will change every human being who understands and acts. You can enter what Jesus described as the mystery of the kingdom of God. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Gospel of the Kingdom. Discover what it is and what it will be like.
Do you want to get closer to God in your prayers? Get a small notebook. It's a personal notebook. No one else ever needs to see it. Go to Luke chapter 11 and read the Lord's Prayer taught by Jesus. Write down the major points and then write down personal ways of saying those things to God from your heart. Think about the words Jesus used in teaching you how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise God for his grandeur and goodness in your words. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ask for the vision of God's kingdom and his will in your life right now. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask God for your daily needs and wants, always within the bounds of his will. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. None of us reach the mark of perfection set by our master. Ask and receive God's forgiveness, and then remember that you are responsible to forgive those who mistreat you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Know your weaknesses and ask God to keep you from situations where you will be tempted to let your weaknesses make you a slave. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remember, you can't solve today's problems with the same old solutions. You'll simply arrive at the same old problems. Are you ready to commit to what God wants for you and experience real happiness? Prayer is just not reciting some nice words. Prayer is a privilege to go before the righteous creator of the universe and talk with him as his child. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.